Grace and peace be yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the epistle reading, again from the fourth chapter of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonian Christians, where he writes, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." We've all been there. You get a phone call telling you a loved one has died. There are plans and arrangements to be made, funeral directors and pastors to meet with, visitation, funeral, cemetery. Your mind goes numb with shock. We've all been there. Or if you haven't, you will. Eventually, you will. And let me tell you one thing that the Bible never says. The Bible never says, "Thou shalt not grieve." Grief at the death of a loved one is normal. It's natural. That's because death is unnatural. Now, we're sort of used to the fact that death is real, but that doesn't make it natural. There was no death in the world until the decision to sin was made. Death is an invader. And when it invades, it is devastating because it wasn't supposed to be this way. Our faith allows us to feel this pain. Our faith never says, "Deny your grief," or "Stuff it down where no one can see." Look at Jesus in the Gospel of John, standing outside the tomb of his friend Lazarus. John tells us he was deeply moved and greatly troubled. He cries. Jesus cries. Even though he's about to bring Lazarus back to life. Jesus, the Lord of life, shows us that grief is an appropriate reaction to death. In fact, he honors grief as something that can be holy in the face of great unholiness. So again, the Bible never says, "Thou shalt not grieve." Here's what it does say. "We do not want you to be uninformed about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." The Christian is permitted and even invited to grieve, but it is grief with a difference. The Christian grieves with hope. What does that mean? It means that the brightness of hope sits right next to the darkness of grief, and the fact that bright hope is there enables the believing Christian to keep living with confidence. This hope is the expectation that all of God's promises will come true. So, here's the expectant hope we can have right alongside our grief, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There's four things. Number one, the risen, living Lord Jesus is coming back. Number two, when He returns, there will be a physical resurrection from the dead. Number three, if you're alive when this happens, you will miraculously be drawn to Jesus and all believers. And number four, we then will always be with the Lord. That's heaven. So let's look at each of these. Number one, the risen living Lord Jesus is coming back. If you are a believer, doesn't your heart yearn for this to happen? It's the last prayer in the Bible. Come, Lord Jesus. Paul writes that the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, the voice of an archangel, and the sound of the trumpet of God. Why is the Lord descending on that day? He's coming to pull us out of the reach of despair and suffering and death once and for all. That day really is coming. We get to finally see Jesus. Number two, when He returns, there will be a physical resurrection from the dead. What began on Easter continues right here. Jesus brings the souls of those who died in Him, and as Paul says, the dead in Christ will rise first. Expectant hope looks forward to a time when you will live in a resurrected, perfect human body. In the resurrection and the life of the world to come, you will run and jump and hug people in a body that never lets you down, never degrades, never gets injured, never requires surgery. The promise of a resurrected, glorified body is real and is a major source of Christian hope, especially for those enduring suffering in their bodies now. Number three, if you're alive when this happens, you will miraculously be drawn to Jesus and all believers. Paul says, we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And to be totally candid, I have no idea how this works. The text indicates that suddenly reality as we know it changes. The old passes away and we're now able to be with Jesus and all believers in the clouds, in the air. But the emphasis is not on the special effects, as it were. The emphasis is on reunion. Again, Paul writes, we will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Who is the them? Caught up together with them. Who's that? It is every single believer in Christ whose soul has been joined to a risen body. All the saints, the whole family of God reunited to meet the Lord. Reunited with those you are longing to see. The great reunion happens when Jesus returns, which goes right into number four, and so we will always be with the Lord. Now, there are beautiful, mind-expanding pictures of heaven in the Bible, most notably in the book of Revelation. But for what it's worth, this is my favorite description of heaven. We will always be with the Lord. Think about what that means. If you would, I'd like you to envision one person that you really love spending time with. You have some free time. This is the first person you call. Okay, you have that person in mind. I'm going to guess there's a frustration in that relationship. And the frustration is that when you spend time together, it goes too fast. You might wish you could freeze those moments in time because you don't want them to end. Well, that's exactly what Paul says is on the horizon for God's people. We will always be with the Lord. Always. Not only will you be in direct contact with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you never have to say goodbye. You never have to wait until next time. Always with the Lord means uninterrupted joy, uninterrupted happiness, and it also means that reunion that we were thinking about with our loved ones who have gone before us. Well, that never has to end either. So if any of these promises are lifting you up, lifting your spirits, helping you to see beyond your present circumstances, if you are having a yes, let's go reaction to these words, you are experiencing hope. Paul concludes by saying, therefore, encourage one another with these words. And it isn't hard to see how they would. This is what the Lord Jesus says right next to your grief to battle it and ultimately to overcome it. This is what you and I have to offer in the hospital, at the hospice center, in the emergency room. This is what you and I can offer at the funeral home, and the cemetery, and the graveside. With compassion, you can encourage the hurting, even when the hurting is you. With these promises, Jesus is coming back, a physical resurrection is on the way, a reunion celebration is being planned, and we will always be with the Lord. And all of this, the whole package, comes to you as a gift of grace. A gift paid for by Jesus' death and resurrection. A gift of hope. Would you please pray with me? Father, we are so grateful for your word this morning, for your Holy Spirit pointing us to Jesus who is promised to return, promised to come back, to get us, to bring us into life everlasting in a physically resurrected body with all the saints who have gone before us in faith. Your apostle said to encourage each other with these words, so put these words in our hearts and our minds and on our lips, to be the things that we can say when there's nothing else to say. May our continued love for one another help bear burdens of grief and sorrow. And may we always point one another to our victorious and returning King, Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.